You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast, recorded live at our Manchester campus. For more information, visit audaciouschurch.com.
You ever seen someone totally out of context? You know, like out of your normal environment, it's like where two worlds collide. And you're like taken by surprise, and it just, you're trying to think, how do I know this person? No, I know them, but what's the context? It just catches you totally on the back foot. It happens to all of us that we see people out of context, and it's a good check. The other, a while back, I was walking with my sons to the local park, and I was just surprised at how they were, you know, they weren't really saying much. They were just carrying the football and normally be booting it around the cars and trying to play chicken and stuff like that. I was like, what's going on? What's come into them? And as we went to cross over the road, what the people that caught up with us, they were only a couple of paces behind, stood next to us, and I realized it was their school teacher. I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Why everyone was so quiet. And obviously, we're always well-behaved in our family 24/7, so that was no surprise to me. But you know, it was like two worlds had collided, and the person that we knew in one context and now impacting the way we're acting in another context. And there's a danger in all of our lives that we can live relationally according to the people that are in that context. And we can live with our friends in this sphere in one way and live a completely different way with another sphere of friends. And we can live with, you know, work colleagues in a certain dynamic, and we act not according to how we think we should be, but to the behavior, the attitudes, the words that we receive. And we can end up being relational chameleons if we're not careful. And we've got to really take a check and go, you know, God has called us as Christians to make a difference wherever we go, to be light, to be salt. That is to flavor every environment with the kingdom of God and the character of God. And so rather than being relational chameleons, God is calling us to a life of consistency, integrity, faithfulness, and an impact wherever we go. Today, we're going to look at a character that's really going to help us with this, because the last 2 weeks here in Manchester, we've looked at, in some ways, the lessons from two negative characters, or certainly the way they were living and the lessons we were learning from them was kind of how not to be. Last week, we were looking at King Saul. We actually found out from Saul that he was insecure. And so his life was plagued with insecurity. And we looked also at Absalom. We started the series with that. That is to come later. But today, we're going to look at Jonathan, who is actually the son of King Saul, who we spoke about last time. So it's the same part in the story of last week, but coming from a completely different angle. You see, Jonathan, what helps us to see, because he was the son of Saul, what we know about Jonathan, and we're going to look at today, he was not, although he lived in the same home, he grew up in the same culture, he was not defined or limited by Saul's limitations, his father. Jonathan made a decision that however I've been brought up, whatever the circumstances or the words that have been spoken over me, I'm not going to be a victim of my past, but I'm going to make decisions today to live a strong, healthy, relational life that makes a difference rather than playing a victim to the way I've been brought up. And that's a choice every single one of us can make today with God's help. And so today we're going to look at the life of Jonathan, look at the decisions he made, and help, and with God's help, I'm going to encourage you to make those same decisions that will impact your relationships for the better. So are you ready to learn from the life of Jonathan today? All right, the first thing that we see from Jonathan is found in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 1 to 4. 1 Samuel 18, verse 1 to 4. I want to encourage you today, however and wherever you make notes, today make notes of the Bible references, and then you can go and check them out and read the context of the story. Because really in the space of a few minutes, we're looking at multiple years, multiple relational contexts, and we're looking at multiple decisions through a lifetime of faithfulness, integrity, and obedience. So you need to really go away and read the Bible on this. 1 Samuel chapter 18, it's a start point of Jonathan, the first time we hear of him. And the Bible says, after David had finished talking with Saul, you know from last week, Saul's the king. Saul has brought the shepherd boy, David, into the palace because David can play the harp well, the electric guitar. And the Bible, we understand from the Bible that when David played, because he could both play excellently and he had the Spirit of God in him and on him, when he played, he changed atmospheres. That's what anointed praise and worship. When we all sing, we all engage, when we all lift our hands and worship, we change atmospheres. And that's what happened when David came into the palace. You know, from last week, Saul struggling with insecurity. He was wrestling with you know, his internal struggles with insecurity and paranoia. And yet David came, he would play, and the presence of God would fall. And Saul would go back into a right mind or a clear mind. And the Bible says here that Jonathan, it recognizes something about the difference that David makes in his father's house. And so the Bible says that Jonathan became one in spirit with David. David, just this shepherd boy that can play the guitar. You see, Jonathan recognizes something on him that I need to connect myself to. The first lesson that we learn from Jonathan that we can learn is the principle of commitment. Jonathan committed heart and soul to David. He said, there's something on him that I want on my life. And I'm only going to receive that if I'm all in. If I'm one in heart, one in spirit. And so Jonathan made the decision to commit to David. See, you only receive anything from any environment or any person if you're fully committed to them. No one who commits half-hearted ever receives something amazing. No one does something incredibly significant with a half-hearted approach. Now, the only way to receive something incredible or do something incredible in our lives is with full commitment. And I want to encourage you in every relationship that you have, don't be half-hearted. Commit to every person. When the Bible says Jonathan was one in spirit with David, the language is helping us to speak and to think about an inextricable link that you could think about when you are in a three-legged race. Anyone done a three-legged race? Come on, primary school, let's go back. Come on. I remember in my record of achievement, any over 40s, remember a record of achievement that they said you're going to need for the rest of your life. I don't know if I ever used it, but in my record of achievement, because the instruction at the time was write things that nobody else might write. You got to, when they look at your record of achievement, now it's just like a CV, they're going to notice something different about you. So I thought, I'm going to do that. So I wrote in my record of achievement, I once came in third place in the three-legged race in primary school. Thank you very much. The head of year did not like that. I got called to the head of year. I got a telling off for that because they're like, you are not taking this seriously. I just said, you told me to write something that other people wouldn't write. Anyway, three-legged race, you start off and it's really awkward. You're attached to this person and you're trying to walk around and it's not working and Someone calls them over and you have to go with them. Someone calls you over and you go and you take them with you. And you get to a point thinking, if we're going to get anywhere in this race, we're going to have to practice and we're going to have to work this thing out together. And so you kind of want to. And eventually, through thinking about the us, not just the me, by committing to each other, it's the only way to win the three-legged race. That's the language, this connection that you can't separate without there being some damage. One in spirit is saying there's an inextricable connection that now I am fully committed to you. What you say, what you do, I am shared into that. I am attached to that. And it's only that level of commitment where we see powerful things happen. Put that about the task that you put yourself to. You have to attach yourself and commit all in with your relationships, all in. And we must commit in order to see anything good happen in our lives. Psalm 133, verse 1 says, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. Acts 2. The Bible says they were all together in one place. And the Holy Spirit, for the presence of God, fell on a group where they were all together in one place. God commanded a blessing of the Holy Spirit that saturated on, fell on every single one of them, but only because they committed all in. And if we want to be a church that makes a difference, that makes a statement in this city and beyond, if we want to change our work environments and cause positive relationships around our lives, then we've got to make the decision. I'm not going to wait for the commitment of others. I'm going to be all in. I'm going to commit. I'm going to be one in heart, one in spirit. We've got to commit. Second thing about Jonathan that we can learn is cover. Cover. 1 Samuel chapter 19. So we're fast forwarding a little bit in the story. I want you to just write down verse 1 to 6. The Bible says, Saul told Jonathan, his son, and the attendants to now kill David. Now, some time's gone past, but not that long. This is how paranoia and insecurity was so robbing Saul and threatened to bring the house down. Because now he was so paranoid about this person that he had invited into his life. And now because the anointing of God was in the house, Saul was just overwrought with paranoia. And so now he was thinking, wow, this guy, David, he's going to take my place. And so he says to his son, who remember is naturally the heir to the throne, he says, right, Jonathan, we've got to take this guy out. I need you to kill him. The Bible says that Jonathan had taken a great liking to David, and we know that from the chapter before. And so he warned David, my father is looking for a chance to kill you. So he covered David. But also in verse 4, the Bible says Jonathan also goes back to Saul and speaks well of David. And so we see with this instruction to kill David, that Jonathan, rather than just relational chameleon, who do I want to please? Who's got more that I can benefit from? I could take out one or the other, depending on my priorities and what's best for me. No, rather than do that, Jonathan makes a decision. I'm going to both cover for Saul and for Jonathan, for David. I'm going to stand in the gap. And I'm not just going to tell David and warn him, but I'm going to go back and speak well of David to Saul. That's an environment and an atmosphere and a posture of cover. If Daz was to offend me, which is very regularly, no. If Daz was to offend me, then cover does not look like just being over here and responding at an altar call and then telling Joel what's happened and just saying, Joel, if I was you, probably I wouldn't go to Daz because, you know, he let me down. No, cover stands in the middle and goes, actually, if if I'm going to cover Daz, that means firstly, I'm going to approach him because I'm committed to him. So I'm going to say, Daz, you said this or you did this and that hurt me. Can you see from my perspective? Help me to understand, have I taken something, you know, through the lens of my past and that is actually not your intention? Help me to learn from you. What did you mean when you said or you did? Because I took it one way, but it could be something totally different. That's my commitment to him. And then whatever happens in that conversation, I go away, and whether I got the answer or not, we've done what we needed to do. I forgive you. I move on. And now that conversation has no impact on my conversation with Joel. Cover means that you don't smell of smoke. Cover means that you don't smell of the offense of your past. Cover means that you don't have to say what happened in the room with Daz when my conversation with Joel. I didn't need to say, you know, Joel, yeah, go to Daz, but, you know, sometimes it's... No, I don't even need to say anything. And that's what we learn from Jonathan. John was pure, he was bold, he was courageous, and he had conviction. I've committed, but I'm also going to cover. I want to encourage you, be a person that covers for others. We're obviously not talking about immorality or legal things that should be spoken about or shared with the appropriate people. But we are speaking about offenses or conversations or something that you overheard and you've taken it a certain way. No, those things we should cover for one another and create an environment of trust with each other where we sow it and don't wait for it. That's a person of cover. Can you say amen to that? Third thing is this. Number three is calibration. Talking about investing, relational impact. Not waiting for it, not being relational chameleons and waiting for everybody to give it to you. No. I'm going to sow commitment. I'm going to tell people I'm all in. I'm going to cover for people and create an environment that we know we're all in this together. Thirdly is calibration. We see this in the life of Jonathan in 1 Samuel chapter 20. Another chapter on. Verse 4, Jonathan vows to help David with whatever is on his heart. Again, I want you to remind yourself, always, when you're reading the Bible, context, context, context. Remind myself, who is Jonathan? Jonathan is naturally the heir to the throne. And 1 Samuel 20, verse 4, is saying, I'm going to commit to whatever's on your heart. Who's David? David is a shepherd boy. He plays guitar, fair enough. He plays it really well. He changes atmospheres, but he's a shepherd boy. He's been invited in. He's not earned it. He's not done anything incredibly noble. Jonathan says, even though the throne is rightfully mine, whatever David is on your heart, I'm going to calibrate myself to. See, that's the level of security that Jonathan, even in an environment that he's grown up of insecurity, you see, God's able to turn all things together for good. He's able to make weaknesses into strengths. And one generation's incredible hurt and pain becomes the next generation's incredible strength. And so we've got no excuse for what happened in the previous, because what the devil meant for bad, God means for good in our lives. And so where I've experienced pain, my kids will be great strength. And so Jonathan, even though he's grown up in insecurity, he's the most secure person we see in 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel. Because he didn't need the robe, he didn't need the tunic, he didn't need the sword. He said, David, whatever is on your heart, I'm going to calibrate myself to. Really, this is helping us to understand the power of the church. Acts 2, Pentecost. This is the global church's birthday today. Happy birthday, audacious church. Pentecost Sunday. And really, what we celebrate on Pentecost is the start of the church. The us. Welcome to us globally, seeing the kingdom of God expanded in our generation. Thank God that I don't have to achieve something on my own anymore. Thank God that I haven't got to check all these boxes by a certain point in my life. Thank God that it's not about my dreams and my talents. I don't have to think, oh, I'm so stressed. Am I doing what God's called me to do? As long as I'm planted in the house of God, I am doing exactly what God has called me to do. Amen? And so today we can all relax because we're doing what God has called us to do. This is what God's called us to do, to make a difference. We all happen at this point in time and life to be in Greater Manchester all at the same time. Thank God. From 150 countries, was it last week? 160, however many. But right now, we all happen to be in Greater Manchester. This week, we're going into thousands of different workplaces. And so let's us today make a decision this week. Audacious Church, wherever we go, we're going to make a massive impact. We're going to be a person that makes a statement. Wherever we go this week, we're going to make sure our impact lasts for this generation and for the next generation. Because it's not just about me, it's about us. And calibration says, I am more connected to the us than I am to the me. Jonathan said, I don't need anything physically. I don't need anything about me. I'm all in it for the us. David, whatever's on your heart, then let's do that together. This is what we see in the life of Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. In your relationships with one another, I don't think that can be any more explicit for our series on relational strength, depth, health. In your relationships with others, the Apostle Paul speaking to Audacious Church today, as he did to the church in Philippi, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, he had the robe, he had the tunic, he had everything, he had the title, yet Jesus did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. No, rather he made himself nothing. He was obedient to the Father. He said, the plan, right, Father sent the Son. He said, I will take on human flesh. I'm not going to go. And everyone's going to go, wow, God. No. They'll see flesh. They'll see Jesus that grew up as a baby. Remember, he didn't just come as a 33-year-old. Boom, Son of God. No, he came as a vulnerable baby. People didn't even know when he was in their presence. He assumed nothing, the Bible says. He made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, that being made in human likeness. And therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every other name. The end of time, the end of this age, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. See, we see calibration in the Son of God, Jesus, on his knees in Gethsemane. What did he say? Just on the dawn of that moment where he knows he's going to have to go to the cross. What does he say in that moment? With 100% humanity is saying, is there another way? And yet he also knows 100% divinity, there is no other way. This is the plan. And my calibration is to the plan of the Father. And so, not my will, but your will be done. And so, we're not only learning from the life of Jonathan, but in calibration, we're learning from the Son of God himself, Jesus Christ. And so, whatever title you carry, it means nothing. As a child of God, that's the only title you need. Come on, whatever career path you're trying to ascend, it really makes no difference, because every single person here has the same authority, the same characteristic, the same nature, and that is we are made in the image of God. We're image bearers, image carriers, children of God. So let's calibrate to the us, not just the me. The last thing is simply this, band can come. The last thing is courage. I'd love you this week just to lead in your relationships with courage. 1 Samuel 23, verse 15 to 18, the Bible says that David is in a moment of despair, and yet Jonathan goes to David, and Jonathan helps David find strength. Again, Jonathan could have, if he was like me or you, he could have said, oh, David's down. Maybe his season's gone. Maybe it's time up. Maybe this is the moment for me to step up and be everything that is rightfully mine. Come on, you've got to keep thinking context when you read the Bible. But Jonathan said, no, this is the anointed. I'm going to sow courage. I'm going to sow strength. I'm going to make sure that there's strength. And so every one of us, we can be an encourager to the people around us. This week, in every relationship, be someone of courage. Even if you're feeling down, you can say, but God, I'm having a difficult week, but God is going to turn this thing around because I know the truth of God. He brings strength out of weaknesses. He turns all things together for good. So it's a matter of time before I see some hindsight on my current challenge. It's just a matter of time. So even though challenges are real, obstacles are real, my feelings are kind of defining a lot of my life at the moment. More important than that, I know the truth of God. So God, you're going to move. And so now I can be an encouragement to my friends, to my work colleagues, to the people that you just say, good morning. Weather's terrible again. But God, the sun's coming in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to the Audacious Church podcast. For more information, visit audaciouschurch.com.